Well, I welcome you to this meeting today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, Christians. I applaud you for honoring our Lord and disciplining yourself to study His Word. The Lord commands us to study His Word, and thank you for doing that. The Lord will honor you, and He will reward you for that. And God's Word itself will reward you for it. Thank you for being here today. We're still in study number 11A, which is the letter K, and the second lesson in the letter K, K-2. We're talking about killing and how that could be a Bible subject in the ABCs of Christian growth. I know some of you wonder, but given today and living in 2022, I don't believe that it is... I don't believe that it should be something that that is constantly taught. I mean, back when I was going to Sunday school and going to church when I did, you didn't hear nothing about killing. Nobody ever talked about killing. But today, it's a daily news report. Somebody is getting killed every day, but it's not just, killing's come out of the closet. Killing is something that's on people's minds. It has been programmed into people's minds. And if you can't see that, you need to open your eyes and your ears and look around you and realize what the truth is. The Lord told us to know what truth is, and whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Now, what's true about killing? Is it true that killing is in the minds of society today and in the public psyche? You better believe it is. You better believe it is, all the way to the point to where 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds, even 5-year-olds think about killing. A 5-year-old young girl killed herself, and it's written on her death certificate, suicide. She killed herself and hung herself. A 5-year-old. Now, you explain that to me, how a 5-year-old's brain and heart has only been working for 5 years in a society, and one of the things that she has programmed into her is to kill and to kill herself. She looks around, and she has it already programmed in her thinking that it is an option for her to kill herself. That is how society is now. Now, you look around, prove it to yourself, but I know what I'm talking about. Take, for instance, I've been, last couple of lessons, been saying something to you about what I find in the news report. I thought maybe I'd just go ahead and do this as we do these lessons. I thought maybe I'd just show you. After I finished that last lesson, I went right on to the news and seen what was on there so I could gather a couple more if they were on there, and sure enough, they were. Here's one right here. It says a 20-year-old father, and this was 6 hours ago. A 20-year-old father charged with murder in death of his 6-week-old son. 6 weeks old. Said he'd been charged with murder in the death of his 6-year-old son, who died in November of 2022. Apparently, this is something that happened back in 2020. It says they were charged. Charges were filed this week against this fella following the Pasadena Police Department's investigation into the child's death. I guess he died and they done an investigation in it, and they found out that this fella, and it says according to court documents, this fella was caring for his son while the baby's mother was asleep, and the infant was taken to the hospital on November the 11th of 2020 and died 9 days later. It says the autopsy determined the child died from blunt force trauma, and the death was determined to be a homicide. This fella told authorities that he tried to burp the baby while feeding it and put the child in the bathtub where he became unresponsive. Well, the authorities determined the 6-week-old suffered multiple injuries, including head trauma, brain injury, cerebral edema, skull fractures, and multiple broken ribs and other broken bones. The injuries were said to be consistent with kicking and stomping and throwing the baby. Now, what do you think about that, huh? That's to say, that ought to be something that would take your sleep away from you. Just hearing it. You know, I mean, this is everyday stuff in society, and they speak this kind of language in society now, and it don't bother anybody. That stuff right there ought to make you, you know? But nothing, there's no fear in the word killing or it even being carried out. And this stuff that you're reading in the news is so prevalent today that people are programmed with it. And it's nothing for them to pass right by a dead body on the road and just walk by it, and just like the Samaritan did, and walked right by it and didn't stop to help nobody, or didn't care, had no empathy, no sympathy. Here's another one. A Tallahassee woman indicted for murder in the death of her elderly mother. A grand jury indicted this woman on first-degree murder charges in the death of her elderly mother. She was indicted. Her mother was 80 years old. Can't even defend herself. 80 years old, and somebody would kill an 80-year-old person. That's a frame of mind in itself, isn't it? It says this woman was indicted for first-degree murder in the death of her 80-year-old mother. The jury handed down the indictment, and this woman was 57 years old. Said it happened on May the 27th, which is just a couple months ago. Said she hit her 80-year-old mother, Joan, in the head repeatedly with a candlestick holder, and then stabbed her in the neck and stomach at the home they shared at their house. She was taken to the hospital and underwent surgery for her injuries, and then died 3 days later. Think she done pretty good for being 80 years old to survive 3 days of that mess, huh? This woman that killed her her daughter told the investigators that it had become difficult taking care of her mother, which she and her sister had been doing since her mama had been diagnosed with dementia. And she had been planning on killing her for a few months. She also claimed that they could not afford a nursing home for her. So, what do? We kill her. Said she'd been planning it for a couple months. And it's not in the public's psyche to be able to think this thing out and say, well, I got to take care of mama. She's 80 years old and now she can't even think right. And we can't afford a home. And I just don't feel like taking care of her anymore. So I'm going to kill her. And she did. Stabbed her in the neck and beat her over the head with a candlestick holder. That's just a few months ago, folks. Here's another one. 3 dead in shooting at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Yeah. A man went into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Florida and fatally shot his ex-girlfriend and her friend before turning the gun on himself and killing himself. He said he took the gun out after he entered the Monday night meeting and said that Let's see what it says. It says that there's a woman and her friend were already dead when the officers arrived. And the chief said at some point after the shooting, this fellow began recording it on Facebook Live, which showed him wearing goggles and breathing heavily. So he wanted to be a movie star, too, while he killed these two people and fixing to shoot himself, I guess. Wanted to be a movie star in it. And it's popular today to, if you're going to kill yourself, to do it on national TV or do it where you can get a lot of votes. It appears from the timeline that they had already shot one fella and had fired several other shots before he went live. But he didn't make any comments. He didn't communicate. He just doing some heavy breathing and said it was very strange. Said he had a violent criminal or a violent criminal history. And he also said that investigators are trying to figure out the relationship between the other two and him. Said it was his girlfriend and probably said it had to do with motivated by jealousy. So two people in Narcotics Anonymous trying to get some help, talking about trying to do better. And here comes this fella barging in there, pulls out a gun and blows away his girlfriend and whoever that fella was that was with her, and then killed himself. This was 14 hours ago. Yeah. So, folks, I'm telling you about this. I guess just to let you know that this lesson and this truth that we're learning from the scriptures is worthy. Because if you hadn't noticed, killing has become in the top five of society's thinking now. Yeah. So what have we been talking about? Well, when we started our lesson on this matter of killing and what the Bible says about it, we looked up some definitions about killing and the difference in 40, 50 years of defining it and how it's went downhill from before. And we also talked about reasons for killing in the Bible. And after that, we took up reasons against killing in the Bible and what God says concerning being against killing. Now, we know that God is a God of life, but the Lord says that He kills and He makes alive. And the Lord is the one that's responsible for life, and without the Lord, none of us could live. The Lord is the one that gives us breath. And all the Lord has to do is snatch your breath from you, and down you go. And down you go. Now, if you're playing around with sin and you're putting yourself in a position to where you can get killed, or you can get killed earlier than happenstance or by chance, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that time and chance happens to everybody in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the Lord is in charge of life and death. And we talked about reasons against killing. We know that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why people that are unsaved are walking on very, very thin ice. And that thin ice is called eternity. You're walking along, and if time and chance happens to come your way and you step on a piece of it and it breaks and you fall into eternity, the Bible says the time factor from going from this life into eternity is the matter of the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast you change into eternity. And it's there, folks. If you're a Christian and you believe that Bible, you know that there's another world that's invisible all around us, and it's there. And you know it. A spirit world, spiritual world. And the Lord said for us to walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible says reasons against killing was because of God's law. When God started out, He said, "Thou shalt not kill." That's His mind about it. That wasn't just something He said for just any old reason. He doesn't want you killing anybody, and He don't want anybody killing you. He don't want people to die. That's why Jesus came, because people were dying and going to hell. And God didn't have any other choice because He is holy. And there's no way to get man back in His grace, under His grace, without the right kind of sacrifice. And the Lord was the only one that could provide that. And He did. And if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ and you reject Him, when you die, you will go to hell. Yes, you will. That's what the Bible says. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Bible says if you won't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of God in this time of the gospel of the grace of God, and you won't receive Jesus Christ by your own will, then you will die with God's wrath on you, and you will die, go into eternity, and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. But reasons against killing is because of God's law, and that wasn't all we talked about. It was because of the regard for life. Now, that's interesting, because it's funny this would be part of the lesson when it comes to killing naturally, because of the regard for life. And 40, 50 years ago, people could completely understand that, the regard for life. But if you mentioned this in a lesson like we're doing right this very minute in a classroom or something and brought this matter up, regard for life, it would be strange to people. Regard for life? Why, there's people getting killed every day. I mean, I know somebody just took a baby and bashed his head up against a dumpster and killed it. I know a woman that put her kids in a plastic bag and threw them in the river. I don't know that. I'm not telling you I know that. I'm just saying this is how society's thinking is now. And the Lord said before He comes to get the church, that perilous times are going to come, and that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now, you got the gays, the lesbians, the transvestites, whatever you want to call them, all of these different groups, the minorities, the minority trains done got so big, and everybody out for themselves, And the Lord said that men would be lovers of themselves, and that times would become perilous, and if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. That society was going to get so wicked in its thinking that it wasn't able to think of the truth and what is right and wrong and what the difference is between right and wrong anymore. And that being said, talking about the regard for life. Nobody regards life anymore unless they're thinking right. And the majority of society now is becoming deceived so much that the regard for life doesn't even raise an eyebrow anymore. Yeah. Have you noticed? Because of the regard for life, the Lord said. Reasons against killing in the Bible is because of God's law, because God said so, and because of the regard for life. If you're born again, brothers and sisters, and you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you're learning the Word of God, which you are, and you're living like the Lord said for you to live as best as you know how, and you're sincere, and you have a willing mind, then your mind ought to be sensitive to life. Even though we're walking around and we're flooded with all this killing and all this lack of regard for life, staying in the Word of God keeps you sensitive to life and your conscience sensitive to life. We are to care for life. Yeah, care for life. Well, I'm a woman. My body, I'm a woman, and I ought to have my rights to kill this child if I want to. And then it goes into political argument and stuff like that. Can you imagine grown-ups doing stuff like that? In the scriptures, when a woman lost a baby, it was a very, very sad, mournful time, and everybody felt sorry for her because she lost her child. And she went into mourning and weeping for a time and was very sensitive to that life that was lost. Nowadays, they look for a reason to get rid of it and cross state lines. And then if anybody says anything about life, they say, my life matters more than that child's life. Even though I'm a fornicator or a whore, or I just happen to get pregnant every now and then. I'm telling you, thinking is not like it's supposed to be in society anymore. Because of the regard for life is a reason against killing in the Bible. What else? Well, because of one's position. We talked about that, remember? That David would not kill Saul because he thought of him as God's anointed. He left it in God's hands about the matter of killing. When he had the opportunity and could have, and the people around him and his soldiers and everybody that knew King David and how King Saul treated him, and exiled him and chased him and talked about him and was just jealous of him and envious of him, he didn't kill him. He respected his position before the Lord, and he left it in the Lord's hands to take care of the matter. Now, I know you as a Christian in 2022, I know that with the matters of killing that are on the radio and on the television, on the video games, in society, talked about in the news all over the place, that you can't get away from that kind of thinking unless clean your mind up and avoid it unless you're in the Word of God and you're in prayer and you're walking with the Lord. And that's just battling to keep the everyday stuff out. The Lord said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And He is right. He told us not to take thought for the things of tomorrow. Don't even try to think about the things of tomorrow. He said, it's going to get so bad that it's going to take everything you got to deal with today. And He's right. He was right before He said it. But what He said is absolutely correct, isn't it? So, you got to own purpose battle to have regard for life and to respect life because God does. And God commands us to do it because it's right, because we as Christians are to regard life, even if the world's running around and could care less about it and is slaughtering each other and taking each other out. That's not acceptable for a Christian. A Christian's mind should be sensitive to life and care about life. God is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and a servant of the Lord, and that you love Him. The Bible says that we are to conform our thinking into His thinking. And his thinking is what? Is what the Word of God says. Is what his book says that he left with us. And because of one's position. Today we're going to go into another area of killing that the Bible talks about. Killing of Christians. Now, it's no secret that Christians have been picked on in this matter of killing, and because the world hates Jesus Christ, and the Lord said that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And it's going to come to the point to where, if you're a Christian, that society is going to get to the point to where it thinks it's doing God a favor by killing you. That's what the Scripture says. They think they do God a service by killing you. But it's true. And the killing of Christians. All right, well, let's see what the Scripture says concerning this matter. Well, the first thing in area is it's ultimately in God's hands. This matter of killing Christians. God is in control of who lives and who dies. Now, there is time and chance in that thing, and if a person is walking under God's grace, is born again, and is minding the Lord and doing everything that is pleasing before the Lord as best as they can and sincere, God protects us from death many times. I'm sure every one of you can detail a time in your life that you know that God saved your life. I can, several times. But I bet you can't you? Well, see there, God intervened in life and death, and he does. So see, then you take a wicked man that hates God, a God-hating wicked person that does not want anything to do with Jesus Christ and cusses him and they're there. They're out there. They're out there. They're all over the place. When you really find out how this world hates Jesus Christ, it's coming out of the closet too. And they're going to start taking it out on Christians just like they did in the Dark Ages. And during the Reformation. But ultimately, it's in God's hands who dies. Now, you take a wicked man that's living a wicked life, and time and chance comes across him. Somebody is drunk driving on the interstate, and a car goes across the interstate and slams into his car. God's wrath is on that man because of Jesus Christ, his son, and him rejecting that man. God's liable just to let time and chance take care of that fella. And I'm sorry about that fella. Didn't expect the drunk driver to come across there, but you're going to ask me for protection while you're cussing my son out that died for you? You see the difference? Time and chance and where God stands in this matter. God is in control of life and death, but everybody that dies, it's not God's fault because they reject his son and they're God's enemy. That's what the Bible says. And if a car happens to come across the road or a horse happens to stomp them to death, and God says, why should I save you alive? So you can cuss my son out some more? You see? I mean, it's pretty dangerous to be walking around unsaved knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's pretty dangerous, especially today. It's not dangerous for the Christian that's born again to live life because you have God behind you to save you alive if he chooses. And if he chooses for you to come on home, then that's exactly what happens. You go home and things are better, get better for you. You just leave the body. No more bodily pains, no more headaches, no more of this aggravation of this society. And the wicked thinking and all these people running around saying girls are boys and boys are girls and all this blobbity blab going on. No more putting up with it. But if God says no, I want you to stay there like he told Paul, get back in that body. I need you down there. Then he gets up after they stoned him to death, and he gets up and walks into the city. You see the difference? It does matter whether you're one of God's children, you're in his family, when it comes to this matter of killing. Because time and chance can kill you. But since you have God to back you up, and your Heavenly Father that's watching over you, then you have protection, and God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. He makes you make different decisions where you won't put yourself in dangerous places. Whereas we would had when we hated God. Remember? You say, I ain't never hate God. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It's ultimately in God's hands, life and death. Okay? The Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 4 and 5, And I say unto you, my friends, this is the Lord talking, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. You see, Jesus even brought that matter of time and chance, be not afraid of him that kills the body. I mean, what's the chances of you walking through an alleyway? I just got news the other news, I think it was the last lesson that I mentioned that to you, that a little girl, 9-year-old girl, was walking down an alley lane and two men attacked her and stabbed her to death. What's the chances of a 9-year-old getting killed? Well, very real. What's the chances of you getting killed? Very real. But the Lord said he brought the reality of what's going on on the earth versus the powers to come, eternity. The Lord said, don't be scared of them that can kill your body. He said, the one you need to fear is the one that can put your soul in hell. He said, but that can kill the body and the soul. Or it says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that, have no more that they can do. When they kill your body, they can't do nothing else to you. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. So you see, you don't. Your body dies, but you're still there. What gets cast into hell? You see, Jesus is making the same kind of trying to get us in the same kind of thinking that we was talking about. It's ultimately in God's hands. And it matters whether you're saved or not when it comes to this matter of killing. It's ultimately in God's hands. Jesus said that, you see. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39 says, See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Now that's the Lord talking. And he's still the same Lord that he was back in Deuteronomy. He kills and he makes alive. I know that there's people that God kills, right? I mean, there's people in the scriptures that one king that lifted himself up and said, look what I've done, look what this, and didn't give God any glory, and God slammed him right then. Die. And then he takes some other kings and he takes their mind away from them for 6-7 years and puts them out there eating grass with the cows. And then when they repent and they come to their senses, he brings them back out of it and puts them back on the throne. God kills and he makes alive. But ultimately, it's in his hands. Nobody's going to kill you unless God says it's all right. Time and chance comes our way, and if the Lord says, okay, this car wreck, I'm going to let you come on home. You've done enough for me. Come on home. I'm ready to be around you. Come on home. It's different for a Christian than it is for unsaved people. I mean, when Stephen, time and chance got him, when he preached God's word, they got so mad at him, everybody stood there and started stoning his brains out with rocks. And the Lord stood and welcomed him home instead of stopping it. He could have, though, but he didn't. Just happened to be the time that the Lord said, yeah, you come on home, Stephen. You preached a good message. Really ticked them off. That's what God's word does. It tells the truth. And people that hate God and hate God's word and hate truth and hate righteousness, it makes them mad. Just like it did us when we was against it. But ultimately, killing of Christians is in God's hands. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 6 through 9, it says, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. So the killing of Christians, we're not to walk around fearing, even though the world's getting farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. The Lord tells us that we don't have to fear. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And we don't have to fear because we know our ultimate outcome. We don't have to fear somebody killing our body and should not fear, even though we're tempted to. Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die being stabbed to death. Nobody wants to die the wicked ways that these people are killing each other in the news and killing each other in society today and are walking around and could care less and have no sensitivity about killing or anything or no conscience about killing and stuff like that. That has absolutely nothing to do with how we ought to be. We're not to fear dying, because we don't die. Our body dies. If somebody kills this body, you are gone before that body hits the ground. Somebody shoots that body, before that body hits the ground, you're gone. And you're to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Remember the one having the child in the scriptures when she had Benjamin? It said, as she was delivering him and her soul was departing, she was dying as she was delivering her child, and she named him as her soul was departing. Her soul was leaving her body as she was delivering her child. So you see, you're not going to be in it. You don't have to worry about and fear dying or fear somebody killing you. I mean, I'm not going to step out and somebody says, who wants to be killed today? I'm not going to step in that line, you see. But I understand that. But you don't have to walk around fearing as a Christian of being killed, even though this world is, I mean, your chances of being killed are getting greater and greater and greater. And as soon as they turn completely and utterly against the Christians and make all the rules where you have absolutely no rights anymore, I mean, they've taken God out of the country. They've taken the Bible out of the schools. They've taken prayer out of the schools. They've taken, and you see, it's getting there. And now they have no way of going except that they get very personal with the Christians and start taking your rights away because of what you believe. They're already taking your rights of what you can say and what you cannot say. I mean, you can't call a lesbian or I'm gonna name them their legal names. They could LB G-something, I ain't tried to memorize that, lesbian, bisexual, queer, transvestite, and I mean, the letters are getting longer and longer and longer, and these clowns are out there behaving like that, and they're gaining the government's favor. And we even got a homosexual senator now, and they're everywhere. And the matter is that the more power that they get, the more power they're going to exercise against a God that they hate and the people that love him. Expect it. It's coming. And it is already, because they're starting to limit what you can say and what you cannot say. And if they can tell you what to say and what not to say, what's next? You see? It's coming. Ultimately, death for the Christian being killed is in God's hands. You have to remember that. That's what the scripture says. God says he kills and he makes alive. He maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. And if he wants to kill some of them wicked people, he can do it in just a matter of just die. But as far as the Christian goes, the Lord's in control of it. And we don't have to fear death, because we're not going to die. We don't die. Jesus defeated death. We don't die. Our bodies die. And that's if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come and catch away the church, which would be good to happen right away, right after this message. Or, matter of fact, during this message would be wonderful, wouldn't it? All right, what else? It is ultimately in God's hands. We're talking about the killing of Christians in the matter of killing. And what the scriptures say, it's ultimately in God's hands. What else? Well, it has and still can be the result of persecution. We tapped on that just a minute ago, talking about that. The Bible does talk, and if, there's several books that you can get. The Book of Martyrs, and there's a couple other books that are very good that if you haven't already read about Christians that have suffered in the past and the stories that were kept alive concerning their faith and them going all the way to death concerning their faith. And some people have really, really suffered in that matter of being killed and for the Lord. But it was for the Lord. And the Lord very plainly and very specifically tells us in the scriptures that that is something that God is pleased in, that you suffer for doing right than suffer for doing wrong. And it says if you suffer for righteousness, and you suffer for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, the Lord does arrange suffering for our growth to establish, strengthen, and settle us. But in this matter of killing that the killing of Christians, it's ultimately in God's hands, and it has and still can be the result of persecution. In Isaiah chapter 66, excuse me, and verse 5, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed." You see, the Lord knows the difference, and he knows the hearts of people, and he knows why you suffer and why you die, or why you're going to die, or how you die. Somebody kills you in the name testimony of Jesus, or for the word of God, then the Lord knows that. He knows that, and he says they're not going to get away with it. Nobody's going to get away with anything. It can be the result of persecution, killing Christians. And as we live in 2022, you can see this matter getting closer and closer when you walk in the Spirit. And you can see the spiritual things going on in society and in the world. And you can see the devil and his crowd and the things that are happening with the higher powers and the principalities and powers. And you can see all these things going on and hear it and see it in the news. I've been reading it to you. You can see it, but it's very close that a Christian can be persecuted, and I believe what the Bible says. I'm a pre-trib rapture, and that the Bible speaks very plainly about that, that the Lord's going to come and get us before the time of Jacob's trouble, before the seven-year tribulation starts, before the Antichrist steps in. That the Lord's going to come and get us. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, and the seven-year period of the tribulation period is a time of condemnation. It's a time of God's pouring out of His wrath upon the ungodly on this earth. And there's some Christians that believe mid-trib, in the middle of the tribulation, is when the Lord's going to come and get us. And some people believe that it's after the tribulation. The Bible plainly says that we're going before. We're not going under God's judgment anymore. We have been saved from all of that, and we're not going to stand in judgment to be condemned in any way, any form, anyhow. We're going to stand in the judgment of Jesus Christ for the works that we did in the body after we were saved in the body of Christ, in the family of God, as a son of God. Big difference. Big difference than standing in God's courtroom as a Christ-rejecting, God-defying sinner, hater of God. Big difference. Big difference. In Acts chapter 26, verse 9 through 11, the Bible says, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Of course, we know this is the Apostle Paul, whenever his name was still Saul, and he was feared by the church, and persecuted it. And this was right around the time after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the apostles are just learning, and the gospel is being transferred from the law over to grace, and all this is going on. Paul's going about killing Christians. He hated them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I mean, Paul said with his own mouth right there, you know, he said, I thought within myself before I got saved that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. But little did he know the Lord one day going to Damascus, and the Lord picked him out and said, you fixing to suffer for my name's sake, buddy boy. And he got saved. And the Lord set him on a whole new route, didn't he? And gave us the gospel of the grace of God. God is so wonderful how he does things, isn't he? But it has and still can be the result of persecution. I mean, even Paul, when he was named Saul, said that having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Kill him! He's one of those Christ lovers. Yeah. And I believe that was what I can't prove it. The Bible says a minister of Satan to buffet him was his thorn in the flesh. It doesn't say exactly what it is, and some people say it was his eyesight and this, that, and the other, and it very well could be, but I don't believe it. As learning who Paul is and seeing his character and reading him and studying him and everything else, I think that Paul had a devil following him around that the Lord allowed to be there to beat him over the head and remind him what he did to Christians. And how he treated Christians, and it kept him humble. Because he mentioned that several times in several of his books, that it bothered him. And that he was not worthy because he persecuted the church. But see, after he got saved, he fell in love with the church, you see. Big difference in being saved and lost, isn't it? Amen. It has been the result of persecution, and we're talking about killing of Christians, and still can be. It's coming to that. Expect it. It might not be during our time. The Lord might come and get us out of here, and He's surely coming to get us out of here before it gets into tribulation kind of troubles, the time of Jacob's trouble. You see, the Lord saved us out of trouble. We're not going back into any more trouble. We're coming out of trouble. Our minds and our hearts and our behavior and our bodies are going to be changed. And we're going away from sin toward righteousness. We're not going to be in the middle of trouble. And it's not a time, the Lord's not going to put us in the middle of condemnation and condemned things. He's bringing us out of all that. We're saved. And the only thing we're saved right now, our souls are saved, and we're on our way to heaven, and we're being saved from wickedness and ungodliness and temptation daily. And when the Lord comes to get us, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin, the very presence of it, taking us out of it. And the Lord's going to take us away from it. So, what else? It has and still can be the result of persecution. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." That's Brother Peter's advice to us, or his truth to us from the Lord. Who is he that will harm you? The very most they can do is kill you, kill your body. That's all they can do. And the Lord told us to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And Christian, if you got your set, that's one thing you can gauge whether or not where your affections are. If you fear being killed, your affections are down here on earth, and you're watching the earth too much. You're watching the worldly stuff too much. You're concentrating on the world too much. If your affections are set above, then the only thing that anybody can do to you is kill your body and assist you in getting on to heaven. You see, we're not to fear, and Peter said that. He said, if ye be followers of that which is good, are you a follower of that which is good? We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord is good, and His word is good, and His salvation is good. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, for doing the right thing, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror. They're going to try to terrorize you. You see what Peter's telling us? He said, "Don't be afraid of their terror. They're going to be." And the Lord even said in other places, "Don't be scared of their faces. They're going to snarl at you, and they're going to lift their eyebrows and try to shame you and try to make you ashamed of your Lord." They did the Lord, and the Lord said they're going to do it to us. We're talking about the killing of Christians. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, is what Peter says. And he also says in chapter 4, in verse 4 and 5, and a few other verses past that, he said, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You get saved and you start thinking different. You don't run with them anymore and go riot with them and go party with them, and they start speaking evil of you. And then he says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The world's going to make you think you're suffering because you're doing wrong by following Christ, and shame you and this, that, and the other. But you're studying the Word of God, and you're studying truth, and you're following the Lord, and what the Lord says is true, in spite of what anybody else says. And Jesus said, if I will that they tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So you set your face as a flint, or set your face, is that how you say it? You look straight ahead and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow his word and do right. And if you have to suffer, the Bible says they're the ones that's going to be ashamed of it, not you. And you're going to glorify God even if you are the one that's reproached. And you are the one that's suffering because of it. And you are the one that's killed because of it. You're going to glorify God on this behalf, the Bible says. That's what Peter said. And Peter died that way. Glorifying God. Glorifying God. And that's not all. What else? What are we talking about? We're talking about the killing of Christians in this matter of killing that we're studying in the Scriptures. Reasons against killing in the Bible we talked about, and we entered into a study of killing of Christians in this study. So far we've talked about it is ultimately in God's hands who gets killed and who dies and who stays alive and who goes to the grave and who's raised up. And then it has and still can be the result of persecution. And we see that as it waxes worse and worse in society. And that's not all. Another thing, the time will come for the killing of Christians. And that's what the Bible says. During the tribulation period especially. During the tribulation period especially. Of course, we know the gospel changes in the tribulation period. It's no longer the gospel of the grace of God, but it's under grace and works in the tribulation period. And it's dealing strictly with the Jews mostly, but there will be people that are saved in the tribulation. But they're going to have to work to be saved. They're going to have to hold out until the end, the Bible says. But the time's going to come that Christians are going to get treated worse and worse and worse, maybe even to being killed. There are people being killed. We just don't hear it advertised in the news. Well, we killed 500 more of them stupid idiot Christians. It's not in the news in the headlines yet. But they are being killed. Churches are being over in third world countries. People are ganging up against the Christians and blowing their churches up and killing them. And you hear about people going into churches even in America now and blowing people away. Where my father and mother go to church over there, they've set a guard at the door and change out and take turns standing at the door, packing a gun, waiting for somebody to come in there and try to kill everybody. Yeah. Did you ever think you'd hear about that? The time will come. Well, let's see what the Bible says. John chapter 16 and verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. This is Brother John talking. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." That's the Lord talking. He says they're going to do it. "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." They're not saved. They can't think like you can in the matter of the kingdom of God. But he says, "The time cometh." The time cometh. There it is. Okay, what else? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, the Bible says, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you see, during the tribulation time, you're going to have to die for your faith. You don't have to die for your faith right now in this dispensation of the gospel of grace of God, of the grace of God. You don't have to die for that. But during the tribulation time, being saved is going to be enduring to the end. It's going to be grace and works. If you say that you're saved, you're going to have to hold out until the end, if that means being beheaded. And there's going to be a lot of them that way. As a matter of fact, the Lord said to the souls that were under the throne, or under the altar, excuse me, the souls that were beheaded already during the tribulation, that they asked the Lord, "When are you going to avenge us?" And he said, "Just wait and give them," and commanded somebody to give them robes to wear, and said, "You're going to have to wait, because your brothers have to be killed like you are, beheaded. And when that's all over, we'll take care of the business." He said, "But there's more that have to be killed." You see? Revelation chapter 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So it's prophesied that Christians are going to be killed. But during the tribulation is a little different than this dispensation that we're living in. And during the tribulation, you're going to have to die for your faith and hold out to the end. That's works. Okay? You're going to have to prove you mean it. You're not just saved and like we are. We are under the gospel of the grace of God, and we're saved no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. One more thing. Talking about the killing of Christians. It is ultimately in God's hands. It is and still can be the result of persecution. And the time will come. The scriptures have revealed that to us and told us that. And one other thing is that the killing of Christians under the Antichrist. When Antichrist steps in, Christians are going to start dying. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Don't get any plainer than that. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." And you see in society today, now I'm just, let's just stop right there. You see in society today, the mindset of killing. And it's not tagged to Christians yet. It's just, in general, killing. You see the public's thinking about killing. It doesn't bother them, and it's waxing worse and worse, and their conscience is becoming seared like a hot iron, by a hot iron. They don't have any feeling anymore, no conscience. They can kill and don't even not think twice about it. Who cares? That's where we are, folks. That's why it should it's talking about the beast should, that wouldn't worship the beast should be killed. And the tribulation, right about this time, right where we're living, we're close, folks. We're close. And right about this time, I mean, the killing is the sign of the times. And the psyche of the killing, and the way that people are, their minds are going as far as killing and life in general, is a sign of the times. But under the Antichrist, people are going to die. People are going to die. Yes, you better believe it. The killing of Christians. It doesn't cost you that much now to live and to breathe and to be in the body, living for Christ and testifying for Jesus Christ and the Word of God right now. But it's getting close, and there are Christians suffering in that way. But when the tribulation gets here, things change. Everything goes against the Christian. And we don't know whether it's going, how bad it's going to be for the Christian before the rapture. But the Lord's going to get us out of here. He said he was. That he's going to save us from that stuff. So we're going to believe him, right? Yes, we are. Okay, well, we're going to stop right there for today. That's what we need to, what we needed to study today is, this matter of killing, a strange subject that we would be learning as far as in the ABCs of Christian growth, but necessary. The killing of Christians we talked about today, that first of all, it's ultimately in God's hands. Praise the Lord that our Lord is in charge of life and death, and we have given the Lord our devotion and our allegiance and trusted our lives with him. And when we draw a breath, we know it's because of the grace of our God. And if he decides for us to come on home, then we are indeed blessed, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul said that was what he would rather do, is go be with the Lord and to be absent from the body. It has and still can be the result of persecution. The time will come, and under the Antichrist, Christians are going to be killed. Okay? So the matter of killing when it comes to Christians being killed is what we've talked about today, and we're going to go into some more and talk about some more and get more specific about what the Bible calls separate kinds of killing, and try to divide this killing up and get a distinction between different kinds of killing, okay, like homicide and suicide and things like that. We're going to go into that and just get into the scriptures and see what God's mind is concerning separating that stuff and judging it, okay? Let me give you these scriptures today. You ready? First thing is Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, verse 6 through 9. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 5. Acts chapter 26, verse 9 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And then 1 Peter again, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, and 14 and 16. John, chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4. Revelation, chapter 6, excuse me, verse 11. Revelation, chapter 11, verse 7. And the last scripture for today is Revelation, chapter 13, verse 15. Verse 15. All right. Well, there we go. Good study, huh? I'm glad to be saved, aren't you? I'm glad we don't have to worry about this matter of killing, and be scared of all that and everything else. I can sleep tonight, can't you? Because I know that the Lord's in charge of whether or not and how I die and how I leave this body. We all want to just be sitting in our chair eating a good sandwich and falling asleep and just ease off into eternity and go be with the Lord and wake up with Him. That's what we But what we really want to do is give our Lord glory, not only with our life, but with our death too, right? Yes, we do. All right. Well, the Lord bless you, and I appreciate you so much. And rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I hope you will be faithful and keep studying God's Word and don't let up. Don't let anybody talk you out of God's Word and studying it. See you when we get on the next one. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.